good. Hey, we're in a series. We started it last week, and this is going to take us all the way up to when we move in our new building, which is just two Sundays more in this place, and then three Sundays we're going to be in the new one. So, I mean, it's just a, you know, it's coming up really quick, but you know, it just always excites me when I think about and see God, how He works out everything in His timing. And you know, with the anticipation of our move and not knowing exactly when we were going to get in, you know, I was really praying about direction and what I was going to teach now, because you know, I had an idea and a direction about what to teach when we moved in. But you know, it just kept going on and going on and going on and getting put off and put off and put off. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't know what to teach, and just lo and behold, it just dropped in my heart. But you know, I found out that if we'll just be patient, and I'm learning this more every day, if we'll just be patient, if we'll just listen, God will speak to us and He'll work everything out every single time. We don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, we don't have to get all anxious about things. If we'll just be patient, if we'll just get quiet, say quiet. If we'll just be quiet and listen, God will work things out in our lives for the good every single time. But you know, there's always choices to be made. I mean, there's directions that we can go in life. We can move in our own direction, or we can move in God's direction. We can have our own plan, or we can have God's plan. And you know, our plans are always about us. Our plans benefit our desires and our wants and our aspirations, and our plans are quick, but our plans are not always God's plans. The book of Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord." Now, you know, I have a tendency to think that my thoughts are great, and especially after hearing John talk. Man, I was listening to that, and I was thinking, do we need to have a counseling session or something? But, you know, then it all came together, didn't it? I just had to give him a hard time. "But my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." Nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. "And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God's plans always lead to blessing and peace and contentment. Our plans, they have a tendency to lead to hurt and confusion and unrest. So we want God's plan for our life, and I believe God's plan for our church right now is for me to teach what I am teaching on, and we'll be blessed if we do that. Can you agree?
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about principles. We're talking about practices that will help us as followers of Christ to get in the game. And of course, we're using a sports analogy because after all, I mean, we are a sports crazy nation. I mean, I was just reading this past week that Americans spend over $500 billion. Over $500 billion every year on sporting events and sporting activities. I mean, that's a lot of money. So you know, we have some kind of obsession, you know, with sports in our company, in our country. And my boys, when they were younger, I mean, they all played sports. I mean, they played soccer when they were little. They played baseball when they were little. When they grew up, in high school, they all played ball. My youngest son, Caleb, he played baseball and football in high school. My middle son, Josh, he was a two-time national champion, one-time world champion, power lifter in 136 and 148-pound class. I mean, strong kid. He still holds the record at Eastside High School for the biggest squat. At 136 pounds, he squatted 400 pounds. Full squat. I mean, that was major. So he was a strong kid. And then my son Silas, I mean, he was voted most valuable player on his high school football team. And then he went on to play college ball. So we were a sports family. I mean, there was always something to do with sports. And I remember it was Silas' senior year in high school, and they were preparing for the biggest game of the year, really. I mean, this was with their rivals, with another school in the city, and it was almost like Clemson, Carolina. I mean, it was a great big rivalry. And, you know, they were going through their weekly practice, and I think this was on Wednesday. It could have been on Tuesday, but I believe it was on Wednesday, and I just happened to be there for the practice. And, you know, they were doing their workouts, and Silas was going out for a pass, and the defender broke up the pass. But in the process of breaking up the pass, the ball hit the ground, and Silas stepped on the football and turned his ankle. I mean, it was really a bad injury. You know, had an x-ray and found out, well, no, it's not broken, but it was a very serious injury. I mean, it was swollen. He couldn't get his shoe on. And, of course, you know, he wanted me to pray for him. But, you know, it was really interesting the way he wanted me to pray for him. It was not so much about, you know, getting the pain to go away or for the swelling to go down or anything like that. He wanted me to pray for it to get fixed so he could play in the game. I mean, he didn't want to sit in the stands. He didn't want to be on the sidelines. That boy wanted to play in the game. Well, that was the only game that he did not start. I mean, he was really swollen, you know. We taped it all up, you know, and he could hardly walk. He was limping, and you know. But I was just kind of watching him from the stands, and, you know, every play he was looking to the coach, put me in, coach, put me in, coach, you know, put me in, coach, put me in, coach. And finally, the coach put him in, and he scored a touchdown. But, you know, as followers of Christ, that's what we want. I mean, we want to get in the game. We don't want to watch from home. We don't want to watch from the stands. We don't want to watch from the sidelines. We want to get in the game. And in this series, when I'm talking about getting in the game, I'm talking about getting in the game of abundant life, living the kind of life that Jesus called us to give or called us to live. And remember last week, we looked at the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. Now watch this. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I love that. I tell you, it's not talking about ordinary life. It's not talking about just okay life. It's not talking about mediocre life. You know, we can have okay life. We can have mediocre life on our own. But it's talking about life, I mean, full bore, full on, where we're successful in our relationships, we're successful in the decisions we make, and we have peace, and we have contentment. So last week, we began to look at some principles, some practices that will help us get in the game, and today, we want to continue with these spiritual practices. So the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45, says, the good man, now when it's talking about man here, it's talking about everybody, the good person, the good man, the good woman, brings good things out of the good stored up in his or her heart. And the evil man, the evil woman, the evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his or her heart. So we all want to be good people. You know, good here means godly, it means godlike, you know, someone that acts like God. And Jesus said that a person is going to act like God in direct proportion to the amount of good things or godly things that they stored up in their heart. So whatever we store up in our heart is what's going to come forth in our life. And so there's two questions. First of all, what are we storing up? And then the second question is, are we storing up on purpose? Now, you know, it's really easy to get confused when you read something like this, because it's easy to start thinking, well, this is talking about doing good things or doing godly things by being nice to people, you know, or not stealing too much at work, or, you know, helping an older person across the street. Or you caught that, did you? Not stealing too many things at work. You know, helping an older person across the street, or being kind to animals, or inviting the in-laws over for Christmas, or not drinking too much at a party, or not cussing, you know. You know, we think if we do godly things, that makes us a godly person. We think we become godly by what we do. And, you know, that's a real mistake in a lot of religious circles. A person hears about Jesus and they hear about his love, and they decide, well, you know, I'm gonna follow him. But so many times religion, then, we give them this entire notebook of do's and don'ts. You know, you got to do this, you got to do this, don't do this, don't do this. And it's all outside stuff. And the concept says that if you will change the way the outside is, You'll change inside. You know, if you look a certain way, you must be a certain way. And so we have in entire churches, we have entire denominations that concentrate on the outward appearance. You know, well, you know, you can't have your hair like this, or you should have your hair like this, or don't wear any makeup. You know, make sure you wear a long dress all the way down to your ankles. Don't have a tattoo, or at least don't have your tattoo where anybody can see it. You know, but this passage, it says just the opposite. This passage says that if you change the inside, you'll change the outside. It says that our lives, our attitudes, our actions will change as we deposit something good on the inside. In fact, the more deposits of good we make, the more we have to draw from. Now, how does it work? Well, let's think about a typical day. Let's think about in the morning. You know, here we are asleep, and, you know, suddenly beep, 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 ring, whatever, you know, the clock goes off. You know, and so we get up, you know, and we can't hardly believe that it's another Monday and we've got to start another week, you know, and we stumble to the kitchen and we make some coffee and we fix ourselves a little something for breakfast, and then maybe we turn on the weather to find out what it's going to be like that day so we can dress properly, and we turn on the computer to see what happened on Facebook last night, and then we try to get the kids up, and then we take our shower, and then we begin our commute to work. You know, and as you're driving to work, if you're like most people, you're listening to the radio. You know, and you may be listening to talk radio or a sports channel or country or rock and roll or something like that, and then you get to work. You know, and in today's society, with the economy the way it is, with the job market the way it is, when you get to work, you better work. Because that job that you may think is so crummy, there's 100, maybe even 1,000 or more people out there that would gladly take that job. And so when you're at work, you got to work. And so, you know, you do your work, and then it comes lunchtime. You know, and if you've got a lunchroom where you work, maybe you go in your lunchroom and hang out with your friends, or maybe you go somewhere quick, you know, and guys, they may get together and they talk about sports, you know, they talk about the news or talk about a movie or something like that, and I have absolutely no idea what girls talk about, but they but they talk about something. And then, you know, you finally make it through the end of the day. You know, and then you get in your car, and then you may have to go and pick up the little tax deductions, and then you head for home. You know, and then you get home, and you know, you've got to either stop and pick something up, or you've got to make dinner, and then you try to have some family time, and maybe you try to relax, and maybe you sit down in front of the TV for a few minutes, and before you know it, 2 or 3 hours are gone, and while it's 11 o'clock, it's 12 o'clock, I've got to get to bed, because in just a few hours, I've got to get up and do this all over again. And that happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Finally, hallelujah, it's the weekend. You know, it's Saturday, and I'm going to sleep in. No. Because just when I think I'm going to sleep in, here comes one of the little tax deductions. Hey, get up. I've got baseball today, or I've got dance today, or I've got soccer today, or I've got music today, or I've got this, or I've got that. You know, so we have to get up and make sure they get all the things that they need to get done. And then there's the yard work, and then there's shopping, and then there's errands. And before you know it, Saturday is gone. Then it's Sunday. Well, what do I do on Sunday? Well, you know, if I'm not too exhausted because of all the things that happened last week, and if there isn't anything else to do, I might go to church. But you know, with all the different things that are going on now, there's this activity, there's that activity, and we're so busy during the week that Sunday is the only day we have. We end up going to church maybe once every month, once every 2 months, you know, maybe once a year. You know, I've thought about that a lot lately. I'm a real observer. And I observe people, and I've been observing people for a long time, and I eavesdrop on conversations. I mean, if you don't want me to eavesdrop, don't talk around me. But, you know, I listen to what people say, and I hear them say, or I read something about this, or, you know, I'm going through this, and I'm going through that, and this is happening to me, and that's happening to me, and woe is me, and oh, man, I mean, we should all play Hearts and Flowers for them. But you know, that's no earth-shaking thing. Every single one of us go through stuff. We all have battles. We all face giants. But here's one thing that I have observed so many times over the years. And how many of you know this is not my first rodeo? I mean, I know I look incredibly young. Oh, that was... You guys are cold. But I have been doing this a long time. And if I have seen it happen one time, I have seen it happen 100 times. The very thing that I hear people say they're going through, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I'm having this problem, I'm having that problem, is the very thing that God had me think about and study about for weeks and then talk about for 45 minutes on Sunday morning. But guess what? They weren't there. They didn't come to church, and they missed the very thing that God wanted to speak into their life. You know, and it's always a little bit strange, I realize, talking about coming to church when you're at church. You know, because you're talking to the very people that are here. And a lot of times, you know, when you talk about this stuff as a pastor, I always hear this. Well, Brad, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't. I mean, I'll be absolutely the first one to say that. You don't have to read your Bible and be a Christian. You don't have to pray and be a Christian. You don't have to change anything about your attitudes and be a Christian. You don't have to do any of that. But why would you not want to? You know, I've seen this happen so many times, I cannot count it. This happens, and this happens, and this happens, and there's always great excuses. But this happens, and then people stop going to church, and after a while, I've seen it happen every single time, sooner or later. Their life goes into free fall. It just happens. You know, as a Christian, we are supposed to be followers of Christ. Say follower. A follower does what their leader does. A follower follows the example of their leader. Now, I want to show you something. Who is our leader? Let me ask you that. Oh, I have done a terrible job. Who is our leader? Jesus is our leader. Now, let me show you something about Jesus. The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16 says, He, Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Let me read out of the Message translation. It says, He came to Nazareth where he had been reared, and as he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. Listen, Jesus went to church. I mean, that's just what he did. When it was church time, you were not going to find Jesus downtown. You weren't going to find him out exercising. You weren't going to find him shopping. You weren't going to find him eating at a restaurant. You weren't going to find Jesus out fishing somewhere or hunting somewhere or doing something else. When it was church time, you would find Jesus in church. Thank you for that one almost hand clap. I almost heard. I know somebody almost went... I could hear the wind. How many of you know I love you today? I'm just... Jesus believed in the value of going to church. Now, let me read you something from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24. In response to all he has done for us, this is speaking about Jesus, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. Now, watch this. Let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now as the day of His coming back again is drawing near. Now, this is first generation Christians. These people are Hebrews. Some of them may have seen Jesus preach. They may have saw the miracles that He performed. They may have seen Him raised from the dead. They very easily could have heard Peter or Paul or John, very easily have heard one of these people preach.
But God found it necessary in the first century to speak this message through the writer of Hebrews to people who really didn't think it was that important to go to church. First century. Now, wonder what got in the way of these people going to church. I wonder. I mean, wonder what could be so important that they would not go hear Peter or Paul preach. Wonder what it was. Wonder what stopped them from getting together with their brothers and sisters, from sharing a meal together, getting to know them, sharing life together, worshiping the Lord corporately. I wonder what got in the way. Well, obviously, they did not see the value of it. It just wasn't that important. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. This is a great passage. It says, "But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired, and walk and don't lag behind." Now, the word wait there, where it says they wait upon the Lord, means to gather together. To gather together. Now, that sounds so much like something from the New Testament that Jesus said. Book of Matthew chapter 18 verse 20 says, "Where two or three gather together as my followers, I am among them." And I know there's a truth about, you know, when just a couple of people are together and they're gathered in the name of Jesus, I know that He's here. But when He says, "When two or three are gathered together in my name," He is talking about this. I mean, He is talking about the church. If you read it, that is the context that He's talking about. He says, when people are gathered together in my name, He says, that's where I am. And you know, God's pretty smart. I mean, He really is. And He cares about each one of us. In fact, He cares so much that He'll set something up specifically to say to you and to say to me at church. I mean, He might speak through a song. He might speak through a word. He might speak through a message. He might speak through another member of the congregation. You know, in coming to church, I have learned that coming to church has cumulative value. It is the exercise principle. Now, how many of you are exercisers? Well, I'm going to talk to you about exercise next week. You know, in our new building, we are going to have the parking lot fitness program. That means that you park way out there and you walk. But all of us know that exercising one time or twice is really not going to do much good. Not going to have a lot of benefit. But you know, if you exercise every single day over a period of time, it'll have great payoff. Now listen to me. See, it wanted to get our attention. Coming to church is exactly the same way. Now, I love you, but I've got to be straight with you on this. You know, if you come to church one time a year, or once a month, once every 2 months, once a quarter, whenever it's not snowing outside. Well, you know, I heard it was going to snow next Thursday, so I couldn't come to church today. That's not going to have a lot of benefit in your life. Now listen, we're glad you come. We want you to come. But honestly, it's not going to benefit you too much. I mean, as great a teacher as I am, as great, and it doesn't matter who they are. I mean, the best teacher in the world. If you only hear them once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months, once a year, it's not going to do too much good. Listen, just like exercise, it is regular attendance that will bring about life change. Because most teachers I know, including myself, we teach in series. And every part has a purpose. And listen, I don't just do this to hear myself talk. I mean, now I love you, but I know this stuff. I've been studying this stuff a long time. And the band, the singers, they don't just do this to hear themselves do it. Everything is prayed over. Everything is designed to speak to you. And I have had people, get this, I have had people make appointments with me. Take off work to come see me. Take off work. And they come see me, you know, we sit down and they begin to talk to me about what's going on in their life and they're sad, you know, could be crying or something like this, you know, Brad, this. And I'm listening to them and then suddenly I have to say, excuse me just a minute. And they, you know, what? Were you at church Sunday? Well, no, why? Well, because what you're talking about is exactly what God had me prepare and talk 45 minutes about. Really? The very thing that you're telling me is what I talked about on Sunday. And do you know what that tells me? And they say, well, no. Well, first of all, it tells me that God knew what you were going through and that He loves you enough that He had me prepare something that would speak directly to you. But guess what? You missed it. You missed God's appointment with you. And I'm just curious. This is what I ask them. This is why I'm not a great counselor. I'm just curious. What was so important that you missed God's appointment? And I tell you, I've heard everything. I heard one guy tell me, he said, well, you know, my little cousin was having, my friend's little cousin was having baseball tryouts that afternoon. I said, well, what time that afternoon? 4:00. I said, well, church started at 10:30. Yeah, well, we were out late last, you know, on Saturday night because we wanted to get him a good dinner. Well, what time did you get home? Well, we got home about 9. And, you know, we had to get up early the next morning because I wanted to make sure he was, you know, warmed up. You warmed him up for 5 hours? You know, that's just one thing. I before God, one person told me, well, I was going to come, but my toenails were not dry. My eyes had circles under them. My favorite top was dirty. the big one. It was raining, and I don't like to drive when it rains. And I really did have someone tell me, well, I heard it was going to snow next week. Da, da, da. Now, you know I'm just playing with you. You know I'm just playing with you. But you get my point. We're talking about getting in the game, not sitting at home, not sitting in the stands, not being on the sidelines. We're talking about getting in the game where we can live the kind of life that Jesus wanted us to live. God has an appointment with us. And here we are throwing the softball. Well, let's get back to our original thought. All right, so, you know, we've made it through the week. It's Saturday. All those things we're doing on Saturday, finally it's Sunday, whatever. Then it's Monday morning again. What if on Monday morning, beep, 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 not too much you can do about that. I mean, but what if instead of getting up and saying, oh, another Monday, what if you set your clock 5 minutes, five minutes early. And what if for 5 minutes you just kind of laid in bed and you thought about how great it is to serve the living God? You thought about how God's given me a brand new day to live. I have breath in my lungs. And I do this every single morning before I get up. Every single morning I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that word rejoice there is really interesting. It means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. Now, you know, that early in the morning, it might be a little difficult to spin around. But you get my point. And one of the reasons I do this is because I'm just like you, and I face things, I face battles every single day, and there might be something that comes against me that tries to make me sad or grumpy or grouchy, but you know, I want to set the tone of the day before anyone or anything else can mess it up. So let's just say I get up then, go into the kitchen, you know, make me some coffee, you know, instead of turning on the news, instead of going straight to Facebook, instead of reading the newspaper, why not just read a little bit from the Bible? I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot. I'm not talking about an hour here. I'm just talking about a few passages of Scripture. Maybe Psalms 23, maybe Psalms 91, maybe Psalms 37, maybe Psalms 150, maybe something out of the Gospel, maybe a proverb. Maybe something out of the epistles. Just a few minutes. See, when you get the good news first, it changes the way you view the bad news. I mean, before you start hearing about the economy and tragedies and unrest and violence, if you've put some good news in, if you've deposited something good on the inside, then you can look at that and say, that's interesting. I know I'm in the world, but I tell you, I don't belong to the world. And then, now, you know, this is just some suggestions. Then, driving to work. Now, I love all kinds of music. I tell you, I love rock and roll. I love blues. I love country. I mean, I love all that stuff. But instead of... instead of crying in my beer, instead of hearing somebody rant and rave on talk radio, why not, maybe for a few minutes, just listen to some praise and worship music? I mean, maybe download something from the Edge website. Maybe listen to Brad. Download something and put it on a CD and listen to me, or listen to somebody else. Listen to something that will make a godly deposit on the inside of your life. Okay, then you get to work. In our economy, in our job market, when you get to work, you better work. I mean, you just better work. But as you're working, instead of getting involved in the drama and the gossip that's going on, why not just have a pen and paper and write it down, or either make a mental note about some things that are happening and make that a matter of prayer? And then, you know, you go to lunch. This is a biggie. When you go to lunch, the first thing you do is look for the salt shaker. You say, why is that? Because the salt shaker will remind you why you are on the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors in this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? And then at lunch, be ready. I mean, you don't have to force yourself, but just be ready. In a conversation, to say a good word or say something that's an encouragement to lift him or her up instead of tearing him or her down. You know, and I don't have to keep going on and on and on because you get the point. But remember the two questions that we started with today. What are we storing up? And then, are we storing up on purpose? See, a good person, they bring forth good things from their life because they have put some good things in. What are you depositing? And what is your life anyway? You know, our life is our relationships and our activities. That's our life. Well, how much is God a part of your relationships? And how much is God a part of your activities? You know, in each one of us, we can choose to live ordinary, repetitive, non-spiritual lives, and we can go to heaven. Or we can choose to have God as the central focus of everything we do. And I tell you, we can live that heaven life down here on earth. And I'll tell you, that's what I want. Not when I get to heaven. I want it now. I don't want to watch from home. I don't want to watch from the stands. I don't even want to watch from the sidelines. I tell you, I want to get in the game.
Thank you so much for being with me today and listening to this teaching. And I want to take a minute and ask you a simple question. Can you remember a time in your life when you stopped in the course of your life and received the free gift of salvation that God has for each of us? You know, salvation is not about joining a church or shaking a preacher's hand or filling out a card or even being baptized. Salvation is accepting God's sacrifice for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that salvation is available to you right now. And all you have to do to receive it is accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And if you've never done that, would you pray with me right now and receive the forgiveness and peace that He has for you? You see, Jesus stands ready to come into your life right now, no matter where you are. And if you'd like for that to happen, would you just repeat this after me right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I receive You into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe that You died for me and rose again from the dead. Come live in me and be the Lord of my life. I receive Your forgiveness for all my sins, and I believe that I am now a child of God. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, tell somebody what you've done, and then find a good church and start growing. And be aware of this great truth, that Jesus Christ now lives in you. God bless you, and welcome to the family of God.